The question was asked, is learning Torah greater, or is doing mitzvos or saving a life greater? So the Gemara asks the question. The Gemara says, they asked in the academy, Gadol alimud or gadol amaseh? Is learning Torah greater, or is the performance, the living of Torah greater? So the conclusion of the Gemara is, Gadol alimud, shalimud mevili de maseh. Learning Torah is greater because learning Torah leads to the performance of Torah. Wait. If the reason learning Torah is greater because it leads to the performance, certainly sounds like the performance is greater. No, learning Torah is greater because that's what leads to the performance. So, wait. But if I'm learning Torah and there needs to be saved a life, someone's choking, God forbid, do I stop to do the Heimlich maneuver? But my learning's a bigger mitzvah. Yeah, you stop to do the Heimlich maneuver. Why? Because Torah that's not for the sake of performance is not worth anything. When you're learning Torah, so then that mitzvah is greater. But it's only greater if the Torah is real, if I'm learning it for the sake of performing it. So that means when I have an opportunity where there's a circumstance where no one can do it but me, I will do that mitzvah. And if I don't do that mitzvah, so then the whole Torah goes down the tubes. The Torah is great when the Torah is a real Torah, when I'm going to perform it. But now you'll ask me, which mitzvah was greater? Was the minute I was learning Torah greater, or was the minute I was saving a life greater? The minute I was learning Torah was greater. Now, it could be I have to. When I was single in yeshiva, so I would finish the Shabbos meal in 15 minutes and I'd go back to the Beis Medrash and learn. And people would say to me, don't you think you should sing Shabbos songs? I'd say, I enjoy listening to you guys sing. And they'd say to me, what kind of father are you going to be? How are you going to sing Shabbos songs? I said, I know the tunes. When I'll be a father, it'll be my mitzvah to sing with the kids. And then I won't be able to learn. I'll have to have a longer meal and I'll sit with the kids and I'll sing with them and I'll tell them stories. Now I could learn. Now it's a bigger mitzvah to learn. Then I'll have a different task. That's my job then. So you have people who could learn their whole lives. Most people can't. They at some point they feel like they're not being productive just learning. So those people who feel like they're not being productive, so then they say, okay, I need to take a certain time off. During that time, if I could be a doctor, it's a bigger mitzvah than if I'm going to be a plumber. It's better to be a plumber than to take handouts. But you'll ask me, which is the bigger mitzvah? The guy who's learning Torah or the guy who's going out and saving lives being a doctor? The guy who's learning Torah. And if you want to think about it deeply, then you can understand it. Because the Torah is the value which guides the doctor to be a correct doctor. Without the Torah, then the doctor wouldn't be the right doctor either. Then the doctor wouldn't know if to give greater value to the dog or the human being. The human doctor who's saving human lives only knows how to give weight to saving human lives based on the Torah. When do you pull the plug? When do you not pull the plug? When's an abortion permissible? When's an abortion prohibited? How do you view an abortion? The whole value system based on which the doctor is working is from the Torah. So the Torah is the concept. Now, if you don't live that concept, if you don't act that concept, then it's not Torah, then it's valueless. It's worse than valueless. But if a person lives the Torah and that's the way he acts, so then at the end of the day, the minutes in which he's learning Torah are the most valuable minutes. That's the greatest mitzvah. And there was a student in Merkaz Arav, being that you brought up the army service you're about to do. So there was a student in Merkaz Arav who's known as Rav Dov Lior today. And he was he was learning in the yeshiva. And as everyone here knows, the yeshiva is very Zionistic and very big into the big mitzvah a person's doing when he's in the army. He's dedicating his life and his body, and he's risking his life to protect his fellow Jews. And so the yeshiva would speak at length about the greatness of the mitzvah of being in the Israeli army. And so at one point, Rav Dov Lior went to the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cohen Cook, and he said to him, I'm going to the army. And Rav Cook said to him, don't go. And he said, what do you mean? We've been learning all this time about the greatness of the army and the importance of the army. Of course I have to go. And Rav Kook said to him, no, you have to stay in yeshiva and learn. And he said, I'm going. And Rav Kook said, don't go. And he didn't listen. And he went to the army. And after being in the army for a few weeks, he realized that he made a mistake. And he found a way back to yeshiva. But it took him a month to realize and get back to yeshiva. And the saying, this is before my time, the saying is that Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook used to say about him, he used to say, Dov Lior Kulo Kodesh Chutz Michodesh. That's the way the story goes. So a person says, I'm not going to be learning in yeshiva, and I could save Jewish lives, or I could save people's lives. Is that a big mitzvah? Sure, that's a big mitzvah. No one's arguing that that's a big mitzvah. Person says, I have a choice of leaving yeshiva and being a garbage collector or saving lives. Of course, saving lives is a big mitzvah. No one's arguing that. Like the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes, it would seem that there is no greater job that a person can do than being a doctor. Because you're saving lives. If you have to make a living doing something, you might as well do it saving lives. If you're going to stop learning for something, it might as well be for the greatest mitzvah of saving lives. No one's contesting that. But nonetheless, the minutes that a person spends learning Torah is a bigger mitzvah. I have to tell you that this concept is counterintuitive. When I was a teenager, so I went to yeshiva. And before I went to yeshiva, I used to volunteer, and I volunteered feeding poor people who really didn't have what to eat. And then I went to yeshiva, and I'd look back at the time I was volunteering, helping the poor, and I said to myself, how could I see value in what I'm doing here in yeshiva? That was so much greater. And I volunteered visiting the sick and helping the elderly, and I did a lot of time volunteering before I went to yeshiva. And after a few weeks in yeshiva, I broke. I said to myself, this isn't for me. I went back to my old yeshiva where I could spend a lot of time volunteering. And I had left an out-of-town yeshiva. I had flown away from where I'd grown up and I'd volunteered all the time. And after a few weeks, I came back. And then I spent a year learning in that locale, continuing to volunteer. And at the end of that year, I was going to fly to Israel. Again, to go to yeshiva. And I was debating with myself, should I or shouldn't I? And a good friend of mine did me a big favor. He called me up. This guy heads an orphanage. He's in charge of fundraising for two orphanages. And he is in charge of an organization that feeds the poor, that feeds over 100 families each week. And I would volunteer in his organization. And he says to me, I'm going on a quick trip. Do you want to come with me? His quick trip was to fill up gas. Okay, so he took me to the gas station, to the pump with him. He was a busy man. I mean, he ran a business and did all these charities on the side. And he had a family to bring up. So I went on this trip with him to fill up gas. He picks me up. And I might have even taken the car to meet him at the gas station. I think he picked me up. And we went to fill up gas. And as we went to fill up gas, he said to me, you know, I take the bus sometimes. I said, okay. He said, when I board the bus, sometimes there's a rabbi who gets to the line, and I always tell him, you go first. I said, that's very nice of you. He said, I don't do it just because it's nice of me. I do it because he's greater than I am. I said to him, that's very nice, but, you know, he could learn all week long, and no human lives are saved. And you work all week long, and you've saved a few hundred human lives. So I don't know why you view it that way, I don't. So he said to me, yeah, that's because you're affected by Western civilization. Everyone talks about the homeless, and everyone talks about feeding the poor, and that's why you view it that way. But I'm telling you that everything I do doesn't amount to what he does. I said, that's nice. He said, you're going to yeshiva, believe me. You're going to do more than I do here and be focused on what you're doing there because it's the future of Am Yisrael. And I didn't buy it. I'm telling you, I didn't buy it. But he said to me, I'm calling you because I want you to hear it from me. I know you look up to what I'm doing. I know you value what I'm doing. So I want you to know that there's a different perspective on the world. You've got the wrong perspective. And eventually you're going to understand it. But believe me, you got the wrong perspective. Go learn. And then, I don't know if he did this or it just happened that his partner, who was also the head of this organization that fed the poor, also grabbed me for a conversation and said to me, he said to me, look, the best years of my life were the years I was in yeshiva. That was when I accomplished the most. And everything I'm doing stems from that. All the poor that I'm able to help stems from the years I learned in yeshiva. Believe me, I look back at those years. Those were the years. Because of that, I can do everything I'm doing. Believe me, you're going to yeshiva. Take advantage of your time there. And the truth is that the first guy, he's the one that really, he really drove it home. When he said to me, the Rebbe who teaches first grade, but he's teaching Torah all day, he should get on the bus before me, not because I'm a nice guy, because he's accomplishing more than I am. So I heard it. I didn't buy it. I went to yeshiva in Israel, and it echoed in my head, and I still didn't buy it. It took years till I started appreciating what he had said. But today, I think that the concept can be understood very simply, because if you think about it, the system that everyone's working with is the system of Torah. Without the people learning and teaching Torah, you have nothing. You have a nomadic tribe that's exiled, a nomadic tribe that tries to hold on to its values. Look at the Reform and Conservative movement. How far do they last? One generation, two generations? They try to take the ideals, the values, the Pirkei Avot, without the essence of Torah. How long can you last that way? Torah is not just about values. Torah is about deep understanding of those values. And if you don't learn that and teach that, then there's no future. Then you don't have a Jewish people. The only way you have a Jewish people, and that's what the Talmud was saying, I think, Gadol alimut shemevi lidei maaseh, meaning you wouldn't have that action. My friend who told me he was working with atheist doctors, and they were arguing, do you have to be religious to be ethical? And he was convinced that they were right, that you don't. And I kept showing him, I gave him examples of situations where the only reason that he's so dedicated to his patients is because the Torah says so. Because in truth, he's very tired, he's very overworked, and he has all the excuses in the book to say, I don't have to do that, that's not my responsibility. And the reason he does it is because he knows the Torah expects him to do it. Because he can do it. He can get away with saying, it's not my responsibility. My time is over. It's the next watch's responsibility. Not under my guard. But he knows it won't happen. There's blood work which no one will look at till the end of the weekend if he doesn't spend part of his weekend looking at the results of those blood tests. He knows that, and he'll stay the extra hour because the Torah teaches him to value. Yeah, he learned here. He told me that all these other doctors that argue with him, when their shift ends, so they say, look, it's not my responsibility. I did what I could during my shift to save lives. Now I go home. And I asked him, don't you have times that you know that people's lives are on the line and you're also tired? You've worked your shift. Your shift is over. You can leave. It's not your responsibility. But you know full well that the next shift won't have time to look at these at the blood work. They won't. And no one will look at it till you come back on Sunday or Monday. And the person might die. So you force yourself to take another hour. It's not on your shift. But you save a life. He said to me, it's true, I do it. I said, the reason you do it because you learn Torah, because you know the value of what you're doing. I'm giving an example. I'm not saying there aren't other examples, but the Torah is the system. When a Jewish soldier goes to the army, he's going because of the system. There's a people in the land of Israel today because we kept the Torah. It's the Torah that brought us here. The Reform movement that said values and ideals and theories, they took Israel out of their prayer book. Someone gave me, I didn't know what he was giving me. Someone gave me a Reform prayer book from 100 years ago. There's no V'techazena inenu b'shuvcha l'tzion. They took it out of their prayer. Seems like a funny prayer book, but they said, we're not aspiring to go to Zion. We have it really well here in Germany. The idea, the whole idea that you're here, that there's an army here, is because of this Torah. So that's Gadol HaTorah Shemevi Lidei Maaseh, Gadol HaTalmud. Learning is what leads to all this action. If you didn't have learning, you wouldn't have a people, you wouldn't have any of these actions. So you ask me, is the action great? Sure, it's great. You have 613 mitzvahs, and this is top. But it's not the top. The top is learning Torah, because learning Torah is what leads to all the other ones.
Right, so how is preparation for the great action better than the action itself?
Because without that preparation, you wouldn't be doing the action.
Building a sukkah is not greater than sitting in the sukkah itself.
But here the limud is a mitzvah. You have a mitzvah to learn Torah. The fact that Torah is preparatory for other mitzvahs doesn't take away from the mitzvah of learning Torah. It is a mitzvah, and you say it every morning, v'tamut Torah k'neged kulam.
If you learn to yourself and don't share it with anyone and don't do anything with it, then what's the point of learning?
It's another question. It's another question. Anyways, the Talmud says it's understood that when you learn Torah, then everyone benefits from you.
You have to teach it, or you have to do something.
But that's all part of Torah.
But if you don't go out to the world and live Torah, then you're keeping it to yourself. You're very limited.
I don't think so.
Or it's for your immediate family, or it's for your immediate community.
No. I'll tell you a story. When I first went to yeshiva, so I thought like you, I thought that the Torah only has value if you're teaching it, if you're applying it. So,
you can make yourself a better person also.
It's also true. So I took a position of a teacher, to a certain grade, and I also took position of assistant principal in a school in the United States. And I thought I was accomplishing a lot. The students would get tested every week on the parasha with a tremendous amount of Rishonim, early commentaries on the parasha, and they knew the parasha so well. They did so well on these tests. And this was a class that was about to be kicked out of the school, the whole class, meaning the class was on the bottom rung. You had kids there who could barely read Hebrew, and they were on their way to high school, and they were in junior high, and here they were, learning the parasha and getting tested on a weekly basis and knowing their stuff, knowing what Rashi said, knowing what the Ramban said, knowing what Rambam said, knowing what Ibn Ezra Sforno said. They knew their stuff, so it seemed great. And then we were nearing the end of the year, and everything seemed great. And I get a phone call. One of the parents tells me, you know what the kids were doing this past Sunday afternoon? I say, no, what were they doing? They told me the kids were doing something very, very improper. And when I heard it, it pulled the rug from out of me. I was just so stunned. I felt like, what am I teaching them this high-level Torah for? If they could do that, then everything I'm teaching them is all theoretical. Then I've gotten nowhere. Then all I've taught them is a theoretical Torah. And I was so upset that I decided I'm giving each kid the exact grade they deserve. Not one point higher. You know, when you grade, so you could always factor in. They behaved well and they tried hard and you could always work a higher grade. Or give them the exact grade they deserve. I decided that's it. I'm giving them Midas Adin, and we're going to finish it like that. If that's what they could do, I felt like I was personally insulted. I'm killing myself. I'd stay up all night Thursday night preparing the class, literally, all night preparing the class. And I taught them an amazing class, and they I felt like it was a betrayal. It was they had turned on everything I taught them. So that's what I was prepared to do. I get the report cards. And fortunately for me, I turned to a rabbi who was sitting next to me, the same person who I told you the stories about, who left his house on Sunday and would learn until Thursday night straight. And then he'd go home. And I said to him, you know, I can't tell you exactly what these kids did, but they did something that really makes me feel like the whole year was a waste. And this is what I decided I'm going to do. And I didn't even ask him. I was asking him a detail, like how should I gauge this aspect of this kid? What's the fair way to do it? And he says, look, you didn't ask me, but if you don't mind, I'd make a suggestion. So I said, okay, what's your suggestion? He said, my suggestion is you give each kid a grade that's slightly better than the grade they deserve. Don't do what you're doing. Do the exact opposite. I said, what do you mean? He said, they're leaving you. They're done. You know, your grade makes zero difference in reality. You can show them that you're the boss. Get back at them and give them the grade you want to. And what you will have accomplished is that they'll leave the year feeling bad. But if you give them a grade that's slightly better than what they deserve, and you tell each kid how great you think they are, so then you're giving them something to live up to. And you're giving them a shot in the arm, and they will grow from here. They will always appreciate you, and they'll walk away from this year feeling like they have what to live up to. And they will continue growing. I listened to him. And that class came of their own volition every week to learn a private shiur. They came and I learned with them and they'd come on Shabbos in their free time. And the kids from that class till today are in touch with me. The children from that class, I got a phone call a year or two ago from one of the kids in that class who says to me, I'm going to make Aliyah. So I looked you up. I wanted to hear where you are. I want you to help me find the Torah community. And it's been close to two decades now. So I looked at that a year later. I looked at what had happened. And I said to myself, here I was investing all my time teaching these kids, taking the Torah and applying it. And theoretically, I thought to myself, this is what Torah is all about. You're making it available to other people. You're living the Torah by sharing it with other people. And this person who spent the whole year learning in Beis Medrash, he didn't go and teach that class, but he gave me one piece of good advice. Because of him, the year was a success. If not for him, I would have destroyed everything I built. I would have done what I thought, I would have given them that grade, and I would have destroyed everything I built, because the kids would have walked away hating me. I was going to get back at them, right? And I would have undone anything I'd have built that year. Who knows if the kids would have stayed religious? Because in the end, the kids needed that connection. Some of those kids were kicked out of the schools they went to, and they always felt they could come back to me. Because I gave them that vote of confidence, kids who were kicked out of high school, kids got into trouble, they'd come back to me and start from scratch and rebuild themselves. All thanks to him. I looked at that and I said to myself, look at what Torah gives you. Look at him. He has the merits that he made my whole year a success with one conversation. He spent the whole year learning in Beis Medrash, and yet he accomplished more than I did the whole year dedicated to that class. That's when I decided to continue learning Torah. When I looked at that and I said, look at what a person who learns Torah, look at what they can accomplish. And he didn't teach the class, but he accomplished more with that class than I who taught that class. I'm saying you're assuming that when a person learns in Beis Medrash, then if they don't go out and teach it, they didn't do anything. And I'm saying that sometimes a person, when they're at the top of the pyramid, can affect the whole pyramid with little things, without necessitating going out 1,000 times and teaching 1,000 classes. The higher up you get in the pyramid, the more you can impact the future of Klal Yisrael, and the more people you impact without doing the dirty work. I did the dirty work. I taught that class. I dealt with their nonsense. And in the end of the day, he accomplished more than I did. He was learning in Beis Medrash all year. So the assumption that you have to spend hours teaching, I don't think that's right. A person's connected to society? Sure, a person's connected. But does that have to necessitate taking all this time, teaching others and spending the time? I'm not sure. The more a person learns, the more they can impact without taking that time.
Okay.
That's another question. That's a totally separate question. I'm addressing what you said earlier, that the Torah's value is when it is taken out of the Beis Medrash. And I'm saying a person can still be in Beis Medrash 99% of the time and they can still impact the whole world. What? I came to him, to the Beis Medrash, you know.
You were the yeshiva student, no?
I'm saying I was already teaching in the high school, in the junior high.
You also went to yeshiva, right? At that time.
Okay.
So you learned for a long time, and then you got an advice from a very learned law. Now what's the connection?
I'm saying... You had said earlier that...
The connection was that he knew exactly what to do because he learned the Torah. That's the connection. He impacted by his knowledge from Torah, not even being in the class, his advice was...
Right, because he spent his whole... Okay, so he so got an advice from the very
learned Torah. That was his point. He said it has a bigger value. He says, you ask why didn't he need to preparation before you do something. The preparation is very important.
You had said earlier that Torah is only of value when you can apply it and spend part of your life outside the Beis Medrash. And I'm saying that you can affect the world with very little contact. Because the more you know, the more you can impact the world. The higher up you go on the pyramid, the more you're going to impact the world.
That was the original idea, that there would be 5% of very, very learned people
So that's another question. How many people should be learning? That's a different question.
There's no question that there can be spiritual leaders and rabbis. So Tachlis, don't go to the army?
Yes.
Let's start again. We asked the theoretical question. Is the time that a person spends learning greater than the time he does other mitzvos? Yes. Does that mean a person should not do other mitzvos? No. A person stops his life to do certain mitzvot depending on where a person's holding. The correct answer for a person who can continue learning is that the time he would continue learning is a bigger mitzvah. If a person is going to stop his learning anyways, so then he might as well stop to do mitzvot. You know, it depends on how you're viewing the question. If a person says, should I stop my learning and do other mitzvot, or should I continue my learning? The answer is continue your learning. Merkaz HaRav always said that. I'm telling you, even Merkaz HaRav, who always speaks about the greatness of doing the army, they also always say, whoever can continue learning should continue learning.
When you get your tzav yus in the army, in the mail, you don't show up?
No. They're not saying to avoid the system.
In America, that's the same concept. For people who are going to school,